Good morning, my friends. Welcome to the worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church on this wonderful Sunday. I want to welcome you on behalf of our whole church and also to give a shout out to the folks who work so hard to make this podcast happen. Today, on February 7th, we are celebrating the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. And we will be centering our worship in God's praise and in God's community. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we hope that you enjoy and can participate. And if you'd just like to sit back and take this in, this is your chance. Again, welcome and God bless you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us hear the story. Come, let us trust the story. Come, let us embrace the story. Come, let us live the story as we enter into worship together. Amen. To confession. God's love bids us to open our hearts and pour out our woundedness and our trials in the climate of love. Come, let us confess. Let us be in prayer. Holy God, whose name and substance are love, this day we enter into a sanctuary of the heart. We come together from different places and perspectives as we seek to unburden our hearts. Each one of us, God, has fallen short of your glory. Each one of us, Holy Spirit, has wandered away from truly following the way of your Son, Jesus. Forgive us, we pray. Reach out and pull us back into your orbit of grace and wonder. Have mercy on us, Holy One. And lead us on to a path of faithfulness, a journey of new life. And in it all, help us to release every feeling and emotion that keep us from loving you and others. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's forgiving grace reaches even in this moment to embrace us all. Let us open our hearts to receive the amazing gift of forgiveness. In the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
I shall be reading from Psalm 147. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars. He gives all of them their names. Great is our Lord, abundant in power, his understanding beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is his pleasure in the speed of a runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love.
I'm reading from Mark 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This ends the reading.
Well, friends, would you take a moment and pray with me as we prepare to hear the word? Holy and marvelous God, we are grateful beyond measure for the incredible gifts you give us. In this moment, as we unpack the sacred text, we pray that the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth will be acceptable to you, God, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. You and you alone are the one to whom we owe our final and total allegiance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to share with you that this passage from the Gospel of Mark this morning has me a bit of a kerfuffle, a little confused. I mean, I'm all good with healing and the stuff that Jesus does. Indeed, I'm of the opinion that healing is kind of at the core of who Jesus is and who we are called to be. But then this story goes and seems to link healing with the casting out of demons. Demons. The whole idea makes me a little uncomfortable. How about you? The notions of demons feels, well, a little intense. Kind of like something that comes out of a ghost story or a bad horror movie, you know what I mean? I mean, there is one comforting piece, as we've discussed before, and that's that what first century sensibility saw as demon possessions, we now have come to understand as some forms of mental illness or unwellness. And this makes sense. And to be confessional with you, I desperately want to explain all this demon stuff in this way. But the truth is that I can't. St. Paul, in his writings, goes there and he moves this sense of the demonic to a kind of deeper level. In Ephesians 6:10, he says that our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against spiritual forces of wickedness. Demons. Have you ever encountered something or someone demonic? It doesn't have to be gargoyles flying around the room. It can take many shapes. I remember once long ago, I worked for a church agency and we had staff meetings every morning at 9:15 a.m. One morning, The woman at the desk next to mine came in clearly upset about something. She put her head down on the desk and began to sob, and I was getting up to kind of talk to her and see what I could do to help, and then the magic time for the daily meeting came, and everyone just got up and headed to the meeting room, leaving this poor woman alone and in pain. And I turned around and left the room and came back. You see, in our institutional life, there's a spirit that allows us to walk past people in pain. A spirit that puts some meeting agendas and institutional necessities before the real life needs of another human being. And I think that kind of thing is one form of demonic power. Institutions can take on a life of their own beyond the will of any one person or group of people. Think of Nazi Germany. A whole nation abandoned their sense of empathy as they allowed unspeakable horrors to be committed, not just with their agreement, but with their full-blooded participation. And afterward, the vocal claims of "they didn't know" ring hollow indeed. No question about it. There were demons abroad on the rise of fascism, and in the rise of fascism as it happens today. In a church I served in, there was a guy once whose spirit, and maybe you've met people like this, was just plain angry. He was consumed with anger, lived and breathed anger, and was capable of saying the cruelest things, and then just would dismiss them by saying, "I'm only saying what everyone else is thinking." Well, he could lie so easily. In fact, this guy would lie when it would have been easier and to simply say the truth. He was possessed by the demon of anger, I think. Have you ever seen demons like this? Maybe it was a spirit or a demon of greed or rapaciousness, or perhaps it was a demon of cynicism or despair or doubt, or possibly a demon or a spirit of division and rancor. Have you experienced any of this? I'd be willing to bet, I'm not a gambling man, but I'd be willing to bet that somehow or in some way most of us have indeed experienced such spirits or demons. To be honest with you, and candid as well, I see the spirit or demon of division and rancor at work in our own United Methodist Church as arguments swirl about around who gets to love who, and we contemplate dividing because of it all. And now, once we come to grips, friends, with the reality of these spirits or demons, you know, we have to look squarely at a Jesus who cast those demons out. I mean, what did he do? We aren't given a lot of narrative here, except that he wouldn't let the demons speak. Come to think of it, Jesus wouldn't let them speak in last week's scripture either, in Mark 1:21-28. He told them to be quiet. Why is that, I wonder? Why, in at least two instances, has Jesus commanded silence? Maybe it's because the demon of anger speaks harsh and horrid words. Maybe it's because the demon of division seeks to sow the seeds of rancor with words. Maybe it's because by speaking constant lies, the demon of discord can muddy the waters of what's true and not true, and sow confusion. Great and dark confusion. Now, as my mom was fond of saying, if you can't say something positive, don't say anything at all. But I think our challenge is not just in keeping the demons quiet. We are, if I'm understanding this scripture, we are here to follow the example of Jesus and actually cast out demons ourselves. What does that mean? I mean, truly, what does that mean for us? Who or what are the demons in and around us? Can we name them? I think we must. Can we see their destructive impact? I think we need to open our eyes If we can name them and see them, we can call them out. Yeah? Can we cast them out? I wonder. I would say that those demons are present in our own hearts, in our own church, in our own community, in our own nation, and in our world. And if we're to cast them out, perhaps we first can get started by looking in our own hearts. And so we tremble a bit. We tremble a bit as we ask, where within ourselves, where within the depths of our own spirits do demons reside? Huh? I mean, do we nurse a grudge? Do we hold on to negative judgments? Do we value others less than ourselves? Do we gossip or talk about others in ways that are less than positive and loving? Are we careless with our commitments? I mean, these may be some of the demons that we could cast out from our own hearts. I wonder, can we do that? Can we do that? Can we cast them out? Can we, like Jesus, tell those demons to be quiet? Mahatma Gandhi called us to be the change we wish to see in the world. And I think that his words may call us to a level of self-examination and honesty that many of us are not accustomed to exploring. In fact, I think this call to healing, to casting out demons, both within and without, calls for a powerful level of self-awareness, friends. It calls us to an ongoing inner dialogue that is aimed at exploring our own narrative and our own journey. Where is it that we're going? What are we doing? Why are we doing any of it? This won't save us, of course, from ever making a mistake or even getting angry once in a while. But the demonic is more than a passing moment of anger. It's more than a misstep. It's deeper than our own immoderate confusion. We are attentive, if we're attentive to our own motives and actions, we can, with that awareness, begin to root out those demons that may hide within. And if we can do that, then in the context of Christian community, friends, we can come together in mutual care and accountability and to attend to our common demons. We can learn to speak truth to one another in love. We can sort out the facts from the lies, and we can nurture and support and nourish one another as we set about our work of healing and casting out demons. Friends, we are so connected. We are, as Paul writes in Ephesians 4:25, members of one another. So as we move through these days, can we each consider the demons? Can we each expand our own self-awareness and begin the work of casting out the demons within us? And then, friends, having begun that work, can we come together in loving, authentic community to begin the joyful work of healing and calling out the demons who keep us all from the healing that God yearns for in each of us and in our world? So I'd like to close today with this passage or excerpts from this passage from Ephesians 4. Paul writes, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." And I would insert the word demons. "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. And put away all bitterness, and be imitators of God." I'd say this is a beginning. This is where we start the work of casting out the demons. I'd say that because we have work to do does not mean that we are not a powerful community. Because we have things we must attend to does not mean that this isn't an incredible church. And I'd say that God has a future in mind for us that involves casting out demons and healing and loving and forgiving and building true community and offering hope where it's needed. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni, me adamaina nomuni matintu, me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kaka nerutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala, me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa daga dala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere, kamuni vambuli ke mami mene va, nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, we've come to the time where we will be receiving Holy Communion together. As we begin this, I want to ask you to be sure you have with you a cup of juice, grape juice, or any kind of juice will do, and a piece of bread. And at the proper time, together, we will consume these as the symbolic body and blood of Christ. So let's pray. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts to the Lord as we give thanks to the Lord our God, for we know that this is a right and proper thing for us to do. And so, with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Almighty God, in your mercy, you gave yourself in Christ Jesus to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. There you made a full and perfect sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Awash in your love, Jesus established this holy meal as a never-ending memorial of his death and directed us to continue in its observance as his body here on earth. So on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And after he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Holy One, we ask that you pour your spirit upon us, upon this bread and cup, and each one of us as we receive these gifts of bread and wine. As we partake this meal, we offer ourselves, our souls, our bodies as a living sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we are nourished here, we pray that we will go forward and nourish the world in the name of the Creator and the world and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, my friends, if you would take the bread. This is the body of Christ broken for you. You may now dip the bread into your juice. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this meal. And we pray that our celebration of this sacrament never becomes a mere religious ritual, but that in our hearts We hold the pure gift of love as we turn to offer ourselves to the world as you gave yourselves for us. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we arrive now at the moment where we celebrate our commitment to God and this church by offering our gifts and tithes. For us, this is but a symbol and a sign of whole lives committed to this community and to following the way of Jesus. We have many ways you can give in this community. If you'd like to write a check and drop it in the mail and send it to 410 D Street, Petaluma, California, we would receive it gladly. Or you can drop that check by and put it in the mailbox. Or you can go online and donate on our website at www.petalumaumc.org. And now we have a way to donate through texting. And if you check your bulletin, there will be some instructions as to how that can, however you do this, we appreciate your generosity. And if you haven't yet made a pledge for the year 2021, it's not too late. We can send you a pledge card rather quickly, in fact. So in any case, this is not just about the money. This is about the commitment. This is about the work. This is about the community. So thank God for you and for your generosity. Let us give thanks and receive our gifts.
Thank you.
Lord, we dedicate these gifts to your work and your church, to the service of your people, as we set about healing illnesses and casting out demons together in the name of Jesus Christ. We give thanks that you have made it possible for us to give, and we ask that you open us up that we might give our whole selves in love, in service, and witness in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. In the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we close with Marilyn's postlude in B flat, I want to take a moment to particularly welcome that in our service outdoor on the lawn this morning, we will be welcoming Chris Nelson and Peter Howley as new members in this Christian community at Petaluma United Methodist Church. They will be taking their vows of membership, and we celebrate their coming among us, and we celebrate a growing Christian community. In Jesus' name, amen.